Isaiah chapter 30. Our text verse this morning is Isaiah 30, verse 21. God prophesies to his people, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that day in and day out you show us the way, and you encourage us to walk in it. Like we often point to a child and show them where to go, you do the same thing in the spirit realm, and we know what to do, and it's just a matter of our obedience and our heart being in tune with yours. And that we pray now that you would open our eyes to the way and to walk in it carefully, for the days to walk in that way are fewer and fewer as Jesus' coming is nearer and nearer. In his name we do pray. Amen. This is the way, walk ye in it. That's all God ever desired for his people, was for them to simply walk in the way that he had determined. And that we see this word way all through the scriptures. It appears hundreds of times. In fact, it even appears 137 times in the New Covenant alone. It's not always used in the context of a road. The Hebrew word is ha-derek, or the way. Derek means road. And the road is the way. It is the way that leads to the next place. You see, all roads lead somewhere, even if they lead to a cliff. All roads lead somewhere. In fact, on nature trails, they sometimes do lead to overlooks. So there's some paths, some ways that we don't want to walk down because they lead to destruction, to a cliff. But the world prefers this way. But it's the devil's job to line this way and to decorate it and adorn it and make people think, oh, this is the right way. And malls are very good for that. We talked about, you know, liking to buy new clothes last night, but here we have the opposite idea, is that, you know, it's you notice how broad the halls are. The way is in a mall. It's very broad. They don't want you to feel crowded, because you want to get out of there. So they make it broad so that everyone's got room to make their way down the way to the next store. A total of about 700 times the way appears in the Bible, about 525 times in the Old and 137 times in the New. And so we do find this way when we open our new covenant, our books in the Bible, the Christian faith. Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. This way. That was one of the first titles that the followers of Jesus were known by, as the way. They were also called Nazarenes, because that was Jesus was a Nazarene, and his followers of the Galilee basically spoke the same dialect. But he said, as we'll get to the scripture a little bit later, he said, I am the way. And so when people followed him, even after his resurrection and ascension, they were known as the way. They followed the way, which we'll see was not only an idea, a concept, but it was a person. Then in Acts 19:23, the scripture says, and the same time there arose no small stir about that way. People were upset about the way people. They changed the rules every city that they went to, they would likely win the guy that made the idols, and he goes and dumps his store full of idols into the street and sets them on fire, and the next thing you know, that city doesn't have an idol maker. But then the whole city gets upset. But they were constantly causing a stir. That is the picture we get everywhere the gospel goes. There's a stir. You look at Jesus with the woman at Samaria, and she dropped her bucket and ran back to the village and told everyone, and the whole village came out. And everywhere the message of Jesus is taken, it causes a stir. Even if there's a negative reaction, there's a stir. Missionaries have carried the gospel to island lands all around the world and have met their own fate suddenly. And many times they were not received. But other missionaries came in behind them years later where they were received. But that first missionary with the gospel that came there and tried to make a new way, a new path through the jungle that led to the cross and not to some statue, was met with resistance. Then Acts 24:14, but this I confess unto thee, that after, Paul says, after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets, that after the way, and see, the world calls it heresy. They say it's a strange way you walk. What do you want to spend your Sunday for? What do you want to spend the day for like that when you could go to a church when you could go have fun, as it were? Well, I couldn't think of anything more fun. We get this concept, it comes to us over and over again from the Hebrew Scriptures. The book of Psalms presents the two men. There in Psalm 1, the godly man and the ungodly man, and the two ways, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. So when Jesus said, I am the way, he's saying, I am the way to righteousness. And if we walk in the way that he walks in, we will be acting righteously. But at the same time, and the most important thing, is that we follow close behind Jesus. Follow him closely enough to catch the dust coming up off of his sandals. And we'll have a wonderful message sometime on Jesus' ministry between he and his disciples and how students were trained. But there was that lead student that was given the privilege to be in the front of the line of the students that would walk behind the master, the rabbi, the sage, and would be close enough that he would get the dust off of his feet. They followed him everywhere he went. And Peter wanted to be that man. He was the one that wanted to be right behind Yeshua. And so he was. And Peter walked so close behind Jesus in the way that he followed him to the same way, which was to a cross. Peter died by a cross. The other disciples, I don't know if any of them made it to a cross. Others died of horrible deaths, but he followed him in the way, even dying in the same way that Jesus did on a cross. Very interesting to consider. Looking at these two ways, how the Psalms begin with these two concepts, the way of the wicked, the way of the righteous, and the choice of which path we take. The path of the wicked is set by the devil. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way, there it is, the way, the path of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And then you have the way of the righteous. This path is set by God himself. Psalm 1:6, for the Lord knoweth the way, the path. He knoweth the road of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we can walk down one of these two roads, but one of them leads to death, and the other leads to life. And that's what it says in Proverbs, that there is a way that seems right unto a man. There is a road that seems right unto a man. There is a path that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, there you go, paths of death. that one path they walk on goes into all these little splinter paths that goes down, and they all lead to the same cliff, one wide cliff. But Jesus' way is the narrow way, and it just leads to the brighter and brighter day. In the 70s, there was a one-way symbol and stickers, bumper stickers, that said one way. It was during the hippie Jesus movement. And you would go into these hippie shops where they sell the black lights and black light posters and tie-dye shirts and all that stuff. And you would have a carved hand, like a little, and it would have a finger, the index finger, pointing one way to heaven. And I'll never forget that crazy friend of mine in the neighborhood. And he'd be riding down the road, he'd beep his horn when he'd see some people he knew, and he'd take that hand and stick it on top of his car, holding on to it with that one-way symbol. And he was in church every Sunday, but he was something else to watch the rest of the days of the week. But in that culture, even in that hippie movement, they had one thing right, that Jesus is the way. And the hippies, they followed in the way, but they wouldn't get rid of one thing. Yeah, they had long hair like Jesus, or as the artist had portrayed him with long hair. We don't know if he had long hair or not, but the one thing they wouldn't get rid of was that rock and roll music. And the Jesus movement didn't last long because they kept the same philosophy of music. So there is a wrong way, but it's God's way or the highway. In Isaiah 42, verse 24, it says, "Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to robbers, did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law." So there we have a better definition even, or a more clear definition. Psalms was written first, and then here's Isaiah. Usually you can trace something in the Bible to where it was first originated. But to walk in the way means to be obedient to God's laws. And it is a very narrow way. Those journeys of Israel in the wilderness, it was not always wide open desert, but they often walked through little canyons and narrow passages. And God will take us through narrow paths, paths we don't like. But it's our job to trust Him and go through those narrow passages, those narrow ways. We just don't think we can make it. We just think we're going to get stuck somewhere, trapped, and not make it out. But He's with us. He'll give us a push. He'll get behind us. He'll say, "You can make it." We'll go down the path a little further. It's not a wide path. So it's not something that we naturally feel comfortable with. It goes against our nature. But we can make it. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, "Stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Jeremiah, he lived in the day to see Jerusalem be destroyed. And it was destroyed because they would not walk in the narrow way. That narrow way, there was only one God of that way, and His name was Yahweh, or as the King James says, Jehovah. There were many other gods in Canaan, plenty of them. There were always visitors. Israel was a crossroad where people made their way from Europe and Asia to get to Africa, and mainly to Egypt. And so people were always bringing in their theologies and philosophies and statues and idols. Israel had its challenges all the time of other ways they could consider, other ways that they could walk in. But Haggai, one of the latter-day prophets, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your goings." And so, this is a good picture here when we look at the way of God, is that it's a journey. It's really exciting to follow the Lord, to follow the God of the Bible. Yes, He takes us through some strange ways, strange paths, and encourages us to whistle as we go down that path, whether we like the path or not, to be joyful in the Lord. But we need to constantly consider our ways, but we usually consider other people's ways, don't we? They're not doing the right thing, but it's often we're not doing the right thing. And Haggai told the people to consider their ways as they had returned from Babylon and still weren't on the right path. They still were self-focused. They left off building the house of God and had paneled the insides of their own houses with wood paneling. Not everyone could afford that, but we do a good job of considering our way before we consider God's way. We say, is this way convenient for me? We love to do that. Oh, I would love to follow God when it's convenient. You know, we're good at that. But we're supposed to follow Him when it's inconvenient. Jeremiah 32:33, "And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction." So each day we need daily instruction for the way that we're going, that He wants us to walk each day. God is the God of plan and order. And it's going to be sad when we see the path that He sets for us and He flips the calendar each week and He shows us what we were supposed to be doing, but we had other plans. And we just need to be sensitive that as God rises up early and teaches us, that we are awake and listening. God wants to warn not only the wicked, but the righteous. He warns us because even we that try to walk in the way struggle. Ezekiel 3, verse 18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die," He's speaking to us, or Ezekiel, the believers, "if thou givest him not warning, or speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles, a light to the non-Jews, a light to every nation but their own. They were supposed to have the light, be the light, and go give the light to the darkened nation. So there we have that prophecy that when Jesus came, He would be, that the light would shine in a dark place. The light did not shine too much in Jerusalem. It shone in Galilee, which was the land of the Gentiles. Judah was full of Judeans. People from the tribe, by genealogy, were from Judah. But in Galilee, you had a mixture of people. And Israel failed at that job. I've actually had one Orthodox man tell me, he says, we failed in our job to tell the nations. But you see, that's why the devil is always sending in stumbling blocks for Israel, that they would not walk in the way, always showing them another path to walk down. Oh, you need this God or that God. And because if they became the nation that they were supposed to be and be the light, then they could be a light to the world. You know, we have these signs, these wrong way signs. Usually an exit ramp. And it'll have double signs, parallel on each side of the road, wrong way. And an old couple in their car during heavy fog in our country, back in America, they didn't see these. The fog was so thick they could not see these signs when they took this exit, and there was a head-on collision. and they died being old and feeble, but they probably got hit hard. But sinners or unbelievers, the lost, most often don't even realize that they're going the wrong way. And that's our job, to point them to another way. We have this God's bridge track, this little tiny thing, it's illustrated. And we can give people tracks, and it simply shows them the right way to walk in. Whatever way they're walking is already the wrong way, but we're showing them a better way, the right way. James 5:20, he says, let the believer know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. If we're concerned about the lost and their sinful way, it's going to help us live right, but what profit it has that you can save, James says, save a soul from death. We know God is a Savior, and the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts of sin, but the point is we've been used along the way to stop someone else and tell them you're walking the wrong way. You know, if a building is on fire, you know, and people just scurry like ants, but if you're familiar with the building and they're not, and you know the way out, you know, buildings can get confusing, very big, you would tell that person, you're going the wrong way, come this way, follow me. And so that's what we do when we give out a tract. We're saying, follow me as I follow the Lord. Jesus said that most people prefer to go the wrong way. Isn't that strange? Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And straight means narrow in the Greek. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. You see, few will seek the way. And fewer will even find the way. And even fewer will walk in through that gate, through that way. It's so our job begins at pointing them to seek God, to seek assurance of where you'll spend eternity. One lady I was able to ask, she had two or three little kids, but I just couldn't help but ask her. She had already turned away, and I said, hey, but the screen door was closed, and before she turned, or as she turned around, I said, I must ask you this one question. I said, do you know where your soul will spend eternity? And a big smile came across her face, and she just said, I don't have time for this now, and she just walked away. But that's a question, though she walked away, cannot escape. That question probably haunted her all the way to her sleep last night. But we pray that's the Holy Spirit's job to remind that person. And she was left with a gospel tract to read. It's self-explanatory. And she can open the Bible for more information. But our job is to simply tell people they are not in the way that's going to lead to eternal prosperity. Then there's the right way. There was a book written entitled The Road Less Traveled. I don't know who the author is, but Jesus said that very few walk in this particular road. He said in Matthew 17:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That's why people don't like it. It's just too difficult. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Even we that have found it and try to walk into it struggle at times. We wish it would just not be so narrow. But the right way takes some determination and commitment, because it's often difficult to traverse, to get through. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. You know, when it says, train up a child in the way that they should go, the word train up is the word narrow. Narrow a child. And kids are always looking for you to narrow things. Someone was just saying recently that kids in this Australian culture are, the parents give them so many choices that the kids are having psychiatric evaluations. The kids go crazy because the way has not been narrowed for them. It's been made so broad. Oh, make up your own mind. You want to wear this today? You want to wear this? And on and on and on. And we get more choices the older we get, but the younger we are, we need our decisions made for us. and that it's setting boundaries. When a newborn baby is flailing its arms and crying, the mother just locks the arms and keeps the baby. It narrows the way for the child. That child calms down. It's been narrowed. But do you know how we narrow ourselves? With this. Open the book, and no, it's not like a straitjacket. It doesn't restrain your arms in that way, but it does restrain your mind, your soul. It narrows you. It shows you, I don't have any other choice. This is what God says I must do. I must do it. And you do realize it's the right way. You just know it. You read about all these people. You see people, good people in the Bible, but they got off the path, and you find out what happened, and God punished them, and they decided, yeah, I better stay on the path. We learn from these people in this Bible. We have assurance over and over again that this is the way, and that it is narrow, and probably the more narrow it is, the better off we are. Kids, when you tell them don't go past the curb or whatever, you'll see them, you'll look out the window, and you'll see them step on the curb, and they'll look back at home in the window to see if mom or dad's looking, and they just want to know, this boundary you've set for me, are you going to enforce it? Because if you don't, then you are a crazy person. And so often we do have to enforce the way. If we don't, then it's not really we've not narrowed the way. And God will do that with us. When we step out of the narrow way, He reminds us, I sure don't like it. He gives us those reminders. That face of disapproval, sometimes chastisement. And depending on what we do with His correction, the right way takes some perseverance, because it's often a lonely road to travel. Jesus said, few there be that find it. Some of us, you might be the only believer in your family. We had a man here last night, and he's the only believer in his family, and his family mocks him at times. Can you imagine what that feels like? You're the head of a house, but you're mocked by your own family. I knocked on the door yesterday, gave out a tract, and that big tall man, a head taller than me, smiled and said, good luck converting the family. They're all Catholic. And I said, are you Catholic? He says, no, they are. Can you imagine what those people feel like, trying to do their best serving God in whatever way they've chosen, but to think that it's all folly by the head of the family? But we need some perseverance, because often no one else is going to follow us, but all that matters is who's in front of us. Have you ever thought about that? You know, we often look around and go, well, no one else is doing what I'm doing. This is kind of boring. But keep your eyes ahead at the one that's just up ahead on the path. That'll give us some inspiration. John 14:6, Jesus presents a very clear picture of what the right way looks like. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the pathway around us sometimes is very, the landscape's horrible, but you look ahead and oh, how wonderful. Light at the end of the tunnel. When you see light at the end of the tunnel, who would think about going back? So if your tunnel gets dark and you're just not sure, you don't think you are finding the rewards of walking in the way, just go backwards. It's only going to get darker. And before you know it, you'll turn back around and start walking to the light. The light and the life. And where there is light, there is life. Because everything that lives needs light. Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. And who is the way? Jesus. Because Jesus is perfect, we follow His way. Don't you like walking in the way? The obedience always gets the blessing. As we go, as we walk in the path, you just feel better. Every time I go out door knocking, I just feel the heavens open. They are open. It's incredible. Some things are not always easy or comfortable or what we would choose to do, but as we walk in the way that God set for us, the blessing comes. The right way takes some responsibility because others are watching you to see if you really like the road you're on. Oh, sometimes we walk in the way and people pick up on it that we're not really happy with it. We're not really sure about it. And then they're not going to be sure about it. So we have to be assured. And the whole journey begins of knowing about your eternal security and getting that right, because you're not going to enjoy this journey if you don't think that it leads to that reward. Second Timothy 2:19, Paul said, "Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." As we walk on this path, we have to have responsibility not to be pulling a little red wagon behind us full of our little statues and idols. We must leave all those things behind, whatever they are. If you're not prepared to live as Christ, then don't tell anyone that you're a Christian. As we're walking in the way, people will naturally look at us because we do look strange. Christianity is definitely anti-culture here. You are a walking freak show if you are a believer. I don't encourage people to wear ties. Wear your best at church, but if you do wear a tie, if you're driving to church, you can occasionally catch someone looking at you. You are a freak show. They know you're not going to work, not on a Sunday in Australia. Nothing's open. And when I came here 10 years ago, I had to adjust to a strange new custom. In America, people that go out to lunch after a Sunday service, they go out and they still wear their ties in the restaurant. And yes, get food stains on them. And that's why tie sales are very high in America. Ultimately, you have to replace your greasy, stained ties. But over here, when you go to a restaurant after church, you take your tie off. Or you will be the freak show in the restaurant, and people will be spinning their head at you, looking at you. What is that? They'll know, oh, you're one of those people that believe in God. You've been to church. And that's a good thing. That we let people know that it's still okay to go to the house of God and worship Him once a week. And praise God, aren't you glad you don't have to wear a tie to be a Christian? And you ladies, you've got it made. You never have to worry about, choking yourself to death. The right way takes some responsibility because others are watching you. In the Bible land, walking from one part of the country to the other, you're not met with a whole bunch of road signs. You just generally have to know the direction and know the lay of the land, and the way, the roads, do not have concrete curbs on them and footpaths. They're just simply stones, oftentimes, that line the way. A path of stones on the left and right. But as animals kick them, and people kick them, and little kids pick them up and throw rocks, and it doesn't take very long before the way is not known. Because of the people that once walked that way. They didn't leave behind a straight, clear path for others to walk in. And before you know it, the rocks are so scattered you can't tell where the road is. And people don't know where to walk, and suddenly they're walking in the wrong way due to all the people that didn't walk the right way. Would you believe no, you wouldn't. That there is a church that has more than a dozen different outreach ministries, and they're now meeting and considering having a dance music evening where people can come and dance, and you can imagine what the music's like, and that drinking's permitted. This is a church in Melbourne. What they're doing is they're purposely kicking all the stones in the path and saying, you can't see the way very well, but follow me. I am going to Calvary. That, what a confusing path. I've got a book with yellow pages in it, a man let me borrow recently, written by a Jewish believer from Melbourne decades ago. I think this book was written in the, I don't know when it was written, 40s. It's written a good while back. And he said then, in his day, that people, that one church was prepared to dance the gospel. Some type of, I don't know what it was. That was 60 years ago or more. And they're still considering this as a way to point other people to the gospel. To be, they said that if we, maybe the idea came up, oh, this is a good thing, let's have a dance party, but if we don't allow drinking, they won't come in. Well, I tell you, it's a wonder God doesn't let lightning strike a church like that. It's just shocking. But God, He is one tolerant God. But He'll have His say in the end. That's the thing. We must make the path clear for those following behind. If you see a stone out of place as you're walking along the path, put that stone back in and keep the pathway certain and clear. Psalm 119 verse 30. The psalmist says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. There's those stones laying before me, that and walking in the truth, that others that come behind me might walk in the same way and see the path clearly. Psalm 39:1, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And then Psalm 139:24, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what the psalmist asked God to point out to him if we're not walking in the way just as we should. Walking in the right way brings the blessings of God. There, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you not to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. A way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. As we walk in the way, when it gets too difficult, too hard, too tempting, He'll provide so that we can continue on in the journey. Proverbs 2 verses 8 and 9 says he that keepeth the path of judgment and He preserves the way of His saints. How about that? He preserves the way. God preserves the way of the saints. Because He knows we're not going to make it on our own. That we have a way of making the path a little bit wider. A little bit easier for people to follow. But that's not our job. We're to keep the path narrow. And God will preserve the way of the saints. Proverbs 16 verse 7, our last verse, when a man's ways please God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Sounds a bit strange, because you would think the more godly you live, the more enemies you would have. But anyway, that's the promise we have. that God will bless us when we walk in the right way. And one of those blessings is He gets rid of our enemies for us, or at least the worst one, or the one that you have to encounter the most. So, there's the way, the road, and Jesus came and walked that narrow road of Torah, the books of Moses, the law. And He tells us, I've done it, and so can you. And He puts His Spirit in us to help us do it, because ordinarily we wouldn't want to do it at all. We wouldn't even be interested. But when He puts His Spirit in us, after He's called us to walk in that way, then we have that same strength that He had. So we'll stand and pray and ask God to help us walk in the way. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us. We thank You for preserving the way through preserving the Scriptures, that we would know and have instructions as we go on our journey from here to glory. And we just pray, Father, by the workings of Your Spirit and with the help of Your Son, that we would walk in a way that pleases You. And we know the day is approaching and coming closer and closer all the time. Help us, Lord, to show other people the path and encourage them that though the path may seem strange, it is possible for them to walk on and comes with a great blessing. And we pray this in Your Son's most wonderful name. Amen.